Thank you very much, Lynn. Good morning, everyone. I heard Lewis, when referring to the fact that I was going to be the minister this morning, I heard Lewis say, "Straighten me out, Regina." And you know, that's possible, not because I'm here to straighten out Lewis or anyone else, but just like most of you all, when I teach in the room, the inspiration that comes through is to straighten me out, right? To keep me walking that narrow lane through the narrow gate that Jesus talked about, rather than straying off into the wide lane that goes into the wide gate. And I'm referring to what Jesus said in the New Testament. So always my teaching is to straighten me out. But as the inspiration comes to keep me on that straight and narrow path, it might do the same for you, Lewis, and everyone else. So let's just see what happens, shall we? I want to welcome you all to the Awakening Together Sunday morning gathering. Normally, Jacqueline is the minister on the fourth Sunday of the month, but she's traveling with her family this weekend, and so I agreed to cover for her. So that's why you have me 2 weeks in a row. I normally have the third Sunday of the month. But I'm really, really happy to be here with you all again. And of course, I am going to start this Sunday morning service the way that I always begin, which is giving you all the opportunity to greet one another. And as I do that, I will play Awakening by Deva, Pramal, and Mitten. So please, hug, kiss, shake hands on our virtual communication board.
Rising in love. Everybody here, standing in wonder, beneath the rain and the thunder, rising in love. Ooh, Shanti, Sachinana.
Wonderful, wonderful getting the opportunity to hear from each of you all this morning what's happening with you. It's good to see you, as usual. I love Sunday mornings here at Awakening Together. Good morning, Francine. All right, so now it is time for our statement of purpose. This is not only to remind us of who we are, but also in case there's anyone here in the sanctuary for the first time, this helps to let them know who Awakening Together is. This is directly from our website, from the Purpose and Values page under the About Us menu. There is consistent wisdom in the universe. It shows up in all religions, in philosophy, in all cultures, and throughout time. This wisdom is not unique or new. It is owned by no one and by no organization. No one has to go to a special place or special teacher to find it. It is the most abundant wisdom in the universe. Once one opens his or her heart to this wisdom, it appears everywhere by the hand of universal grace. And I saw someone commenting about Pope Francis being in the U.S. this week. And I think that to some degree, one thing that many, many people are noticing about Pope Francis is that he is pointing to this truth that I have just read, that there is a consistent wisdom in the universe, that it shows up in all religions, in philosophy, in all cultures throughout time, that no one has to go to any special place to find it. He's not asking everyone to become Catholic. He is honoring the heart of all religions. And this is what everyone is seeing, and this is what everyone is responding to, some more consciously than others, but he is pointing towards truth in his beingness, and everyone responds to truth. And so it's a great, great joy to watch what is happening this last week as Pope Francis has been here in the United States. Continuing from our website, there is also, and this is very important for us to listen to, there is also a way of not seeing universal wisdom. We all have the ability to be distracted from it by self-limiting and segmenting beliefs. And we know this is true, and if we look carefully at the news, we can find this happening as well. For example, I have been listening to some of the rhetoric by the many Republican nominees that are being considered by the United States population right now, and many of them seem to really express great prejudice, for example, against Muslims, all Muslims, even saying, you know, they would not support a presidential candidate who was Muslim. And so, again, you know, we get these firm beliefs about the world, no matter, you know, whether those are Republican beliefs or Democratic beliefs or some other type of belief system, it's irrelevant. And we get deep into our own beliefs, our own self-limiting and segmenting beliefs. They could even be the beliefs of A Course in Miracles. We then separate ourselves and we judge others who do not think like us. And here in Awakening Together, we are here again to embrace universal wisdom, which means a part of what we need to do is also discover and let go of those self-limiting and segmenting beliefs that we have that separate us from some other part of the population and from truth as a whole. So what is Awakening Together? Awakening Together is a universal assembly of peers dedicated to recognizing and embracing universal wisdom regardless of the form in which it appears. We are also dedicated to recognizing the ways we deny universal wisdom by adopting personal beliefs and biases. We want to recognize these limitations. I say again, we want to recognize these limitations so we can free ourselves and open to that continuous flow of universal wisdom. That is Awakening Together. So I welcome you all here. We're joined in common purpose. I have some announcements. The first announcement, I'd like to re-share about our daily contemplation circle that happens here in the Awakening Together Sanctuary. Our statement of purpose says, of course, this consistent wisdom shows up in all religions, and it also says it shows up in philosophy. And the philosophy of Plato is one of those places we will find this universal wisdom. And Plato taught that through contemplation, the soul may ascend to knowledge of the divine. Some people wonder, what is contemplation? Well, this is Adyashanti's definition of contemplation. Contemplation is the art of holding a word or a phrase patiently in the silence and stillness of awareness until it begins to disclose deeper and deeper meanings and understandings. Contemplation has the power to transcend beyond the limits of analytical thought and logic and open consciousness up to an order of wisdom and truth that can only be described as revelation. This is Eckhart Tolle's definition of contemplation. The words are no more than signposts. That to which they point is not to be found within the realm of thought, but a dimension within yourself that is deeper and infinitely vaster than thought. A vibrantly alive peace is one of those characteristics of that dimension. So whenever you feel inner peace arising as you read, the written word is doing its work, fulfilling its function as your teacher. It is reminding you of who you are and pointing the way back home. Allow it to do its work, to awaken you from the old grooves of your repetitive and conditioned thinking. Masters from many traditions recommend practicing contemplation at least twice per day, once in the morning soon after rising, and once in the evening before retiring for the day. An awakening together offers that opportunity. We provide a daily quote for contemplation each day in our daily update, which is in your inbox if you are registered for our daily updates, bright and early every morning, so that you can begin the day with contemplation. And if you happen to get up even earlier than the daily update, you can always find it, the daily quote posted on our website underneath the inspiration menu. This gives you that opportunity to contemplate first thing in the morning before you begin your day, before any distractions arise. And then we also provide that second opportunity together every evening in our contemplation circle. 6 days out of the week, contemplation circle is at 10 p.m. Eastern time right here in the sanctuary. On Fridays, it's an hour later at 11 p.m. Eastern time. So please join us for contemplation circle. If you really want to get the benefits, don't just show up, but contemplate in the morning as the masters recommend, and then come back, contemplate, and listen to what others have received through their contemplation. There's often a great deepening that occurs as we listen to one another. I personally facilitate contemplation circle on Sunday nights. I've also been committed recently to attending on Monday nights, since my Monday evenings have become more free. And beginning this week, my Thursday evenings are also becoming more free, so I will be there on Thursday night. On the other nights of the week, I'm simply not available. But I personally will be attending Contemplation Circle on Sundays, Mondays, and Thursdays. And I hope to see you all there. Again, that's 10 p.m. Eastern Time, every day except Friday, when it's 11 p.m. Eastern Time. I also want to just remind you one more time about our Awakening Together Fall Retreat. I know you all are very aware of this. We announce it every Sunday. But I want to really emphasize that there are exactly 2.5 weeks remaining to register. Often when we have retreats, we get people who want to register after the deadline. And sometimes we have retreat centers that will accommodate that. But this retreat center has given us no indication that they are going to accommodate late registrations. The reason for the registration deadline is because the retreat center itself needs to prepare for a certain number of people, certain types of meals. Also, the Regina Don Acres retreat is full. However, the Regina Don Acres retreat is using one building called the Marion Building. There's another building, the Francis Building, that is being used for the weekend retreats with Jan Frazier and Bentinho. It was not being used during the week. So we can use that building, we've been told, if more people want to register for the Regina Don Acres retreat, especially if you register for Regina Don Acres in conjunction with either a Jan or Bentinho, because that way you can just stay in the same room that you're in for the weekend. So please feel free to go ahead and register for Regina Don Acres, even though it's full. I can't give you strong specifics on what the Regina Don Acres retreat will be because I always allow the retreats to follow inspiration, but I do have a general feel. I can promise you that it will not be Regina Don Acres standing there and talking at you all day long. I am not at all interested in intellectual spirituality. There will be some teaching. The teaching is meant to motivate us and point us higher than where we are now, regardless of where we are now. This, again, is not only for you, but also for me. But there will also be time that you will be given alone. There will be probably sometimes assignments. Go off and contemplate a particular thing. Come back. We share together what we all receive from the contemplation. There are plenty of places around this retreat center to walk. We're right at the edge of the mountains. There are even hiking trails there, so you can go off into the wilderness when time is given. There are also plenty of places to sit. There's a beautiful peace garden with benches. There are grottos with benches. There's just benches all over the place for those of you who like to sit. There's also a labyrinth. So there's going to be both teaching and time for contemplation and time for meditation. It's kind of like a three-legged stool that hopefully will boost us up spiritually during the week, re-inspire us at the very least. I can't speak about Jan Frazier's retreat or Bentinho's retreat. They would have to speak about that. But again, that's what will be happening during the week at the Regina Don Acres retreat. So even though it's full, we've already exceeded what I had planned for the retreat, but please feel free to register. And again, especially if you're registering along with Jan or Bentinho, that makes it extremely easy. I also want to mention something else about Regina Don Acres. I have been leading an NTI group here in Pueblo since January of 2012, and that group ended. We finished the last chapter of Revelation about a week and a half ago. Some of you might have listened to the audios because I also posted them on the Regina Don Acres website. In fact, you can still find the audios from the full 3 3/4 years of study groups on the Regina Don Acres website under Audios NTI. But when that group ended here, they wanted to continue to Inner Ramana. So we started Inner Ramana last Wednesday. So if you want to get in on the beginning of the Inner Ramana study group here in Pueblo and listen to the audios, you can do that. There are two ways to do that. One, the audios will typically be posted on Wednesday because the study group is Tuesday night. You'll find them on the Regina Don Acres website under Audio Inner Ramana. But also, I now do a weekly, I don't know if you call it newsletter, update. A weekly update is probably better. It will come out on Monday mornings in your inbox if you're interested, only once a week, unless there's something very time sensitive. And the Inner Ramana audio will be on that weekly update email that goes out. If you want to sign up for the Regina weekly update, you do that at reginadonacres.com. So again, Awakening Together has a daily update, which includes the daily quote for contemplation. And Regina Don Acres has a weekly update, and you sign up for them on the respective websites. All right, in honor of our upcoming fall retreat, I thought I would play a very famous song about Colorado. about our Rocky Mountains. I think you all will recognize this song. It's John Denver, of course, and the name of the song is Rocky Mountain High.
He was born in the summer of his 27th year, coming home to a place he'd never been before. He left yesterday behind him. You might say he was born again. You might say he found the key to every door. When he first came to the mountains, his life was far away. On the road, hanging by a song. But the string's already broken, and he doesn't really care. It keeps changing fast, and it don't last long. But the Colorado Rocky Mountain High, I've seen it rain and fire in the sky. Shadow from the starlight is softer than a lover's eye. Rocky Mountain High, Colorado. Rocky Mountain High, Colorado. He climbed the Beaver Mountain, saw silver clouds below. He saw everything far as you can see. And they say that he got crazy once, and he tried to touch the sun, and he lost a friend but kept the memory. Now he walks in quiet solitude, the forests and the streams, seeking grace in every step he takes. His side is turned inside to try and understand the serenity of a clear blue mountain lake. And the Colorado and Rocky Mountain High, I've seen it rain and fire in the sky. Off the ground and the land to the casual. Rocky Mountain High, Colorado. Rocky Mountain High. Now his life is full of wonder, but his heart still knows some fear of the simple thing he cannot comprehend. While they try to tear the mountains down to bring in a couple more. More people, more scars upon the land. In the Colorado Rocky Mountain High, I've seen it rain and fire in the sky. Though he'd be a poor man if he never saw an eagle fly. Rocky Mountain High.
If you listen to that song, you know that Rocky Mountain High is all about discovering the stillness through the beauty of nature. So again, if you're available, please come to our fall retreat, and we'll all work on that together, discovering what's within, even as we enjoy the beautiful nature in Colorado. It is now time for our reading. And our reader today is Karen Wirth. We have a lot of people in the room today. I'm sure Karen is probably here. See, I'm looking for her. Hopefully she is. I don't see her as I scan quickly, but there's more people to scan than usual. So what I'm going to do is let go of the mic and let Karen pick it up. The reading is Freedom from the Maze by Michael Langford. Okay, there's Karen. Good. Karen, the mic is yours.
Hi, thank you, Regina. I'm just so grateful for our church. So I'm going to read this Freedom from the Maze. Once upon a time, in the land of fictional stories created to illustrate certain valuable points, there was a maze on a planet called Dirt. All of the people on planet Dirt lived in the maze. Almost none of the people on planet Dirt realized that they lived in the maze. There was a teacher who had successfully freed himself from the maze. The teacher wrote a book, which was a map, to show people how they could also free themselves from the maze. The book was titled, How to Free Yourself from the Maze and Live Eternally in the Bliss of Reality. The following are some of the essential points from that book. To free yourself from the maze, the first two and most important steps are: 1. See that part of you does not want to be free from the maze. And 2. Every day, see how the fact that part of you does not want to be free from the maze affects your actions, thoughts, feelings, desires, etc. In almost all people, the desire to continue to live in the maze is much greater than the desire to be free from the maze. And this has always been true for the entire history of the people of planet Dirt. Therefore, almost all of the books that have ever been written claiming to show the way out of the maze do not actually show the way out of the maze. People like to believe that they want to be free from the maze. This creates a demand for books that claim to be about how to be free from the maze. However, most people do not really want to be free from the maze. When you combine these two, the fact that most people like to believe that they want to be free from the maze, and the fact that most people do not really want to be free from the maze, the result is that what people really want are books that claim to show the way out of the maze, that do not really show the way out of the maze. This demand for books that claims to show the way out of the maze, that do not really show the way out of the maze, has been answered throughout the history of planet Dirt. And that is why almost all of the thousands of books that have been written about how to be free from the maze do not actually show the way out of the maze. If you can see all of this, then you might be able to begin to see the importance of the first two steps. 1. See that part of you does not want to be free from the maze. And 2. Every day, see how the fact that part of you does not want to be free from the maze see how that affects your actions, your thoughts, your feelings, and your desires. The maze is illusion. Everything perceived in the maze is an illusion, even though it usually seems or appears to be real. All of the bodies, animals, plants, mountains, land, clouds, sky, objects, actions, concepts, feelings, and desires, all of these that are perceived while one is living in the maze are illusions. Why would anyone want to be free from the maze? Because sooner or later, life in the maze will become a sorrowful or sufferingful life. And because the reality beyond the maze is perfect, infinite, eternal, awareness, love, bliss, that has no suffering and no sorrow. How to make your desire to be free from the maze much greater than your desire to continue living in the maze? One way to do this is by comparing life in the maze with life in reality. If you go into detail, looking at every negative aspect of life in the maze, and compare that with life in the reality, which is perfect, infinite, eternal, awareness, love, bliss, that can help to increase your desire to be free from the maze. The other great key is self-honesty. Be honest about the fact that part of you does not want to be free from the maze, and that the part of you that does not want to be free from the maze is also guiding your actions, thoughts, feelings, desires, etc. Then, look every day to see how that part of you that does not want to be free from the maze is directing your actions, your thoughts, your feelings, and desires to keep you in the maze. Make the decision to dedicate every moment of your life from this moment on to being free from the maze. Then be very honest with yourself every day to see when your actions, thoughts, feelings, and desires are being directed towards that goal, and when your actions, thoughts, feelings, and desires are not being directed towards that which will free you from the maze. Strive each day to drop more and more of the actions, thoughts, feelings, and desires that do not lead you to freedom from the maze. See how much time you spend every day practicing the method that will free you from the maze. Strive each day to increase the amount of time you spend practicing the method that will free you from the maze. Every time it seems like that part of you that does not want to be free from the maze is winning the battle, then repeat the exercise of comparing life in the maze to life in the reality, which is perfect, infinite, eternal, awareness, love, bliss. And then, once again, make the decision to dedicate every moment of your life to practicing the method that will free you from the maze. If you find a certain passage in a book that inspires you to be dedicated to being free from the maze and inspire you to practice the method that will free you from the maze, then highlight those passages and reread them every time you have started to fall off the path that leads to freedom from the maze and have begun to walk down the path of distraction. Continue to see how that part of you that does not want to be free from the maze affects your actions, thoughts, feelings, desires, etc. Continue to do whatever you can do to increase your desire for freedom from the maze, so that the part of you that does not want to be free from the maze becomes less and less until it no longer exists. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Karen. And what I will do when I post the Awakening Together gathering, I will also post a link to Michael Langford's Freedom from the Maze so that you can read it and contemplate it for yourself. It is very clear, and it speaks directly to each and every one of us. In fact, Lewis asked to be straightened out, and I said that's why I teach, of course, always is to be straightened out, to be kept on that direct, narrow path. And Freedom from the Maze really helps to do that. Yeah, I see Lewis saying, please. So there we go, Lewis. We're each getting straightened out today, and it's wonderful. I recommend reading Freedom from the Maze. Depending on what you feel your need is, but maybe start every day. You know, when you get up in the morning, you're having your coffee or whatever you do, start the day by reading Freedom from the Maze. And I think that will set us straight at the beginning of the day. It starts the day on the right foot. But, you know, do what you want to do. But I think that I think this is a very, very clear, albeit fictional, teaching. You know, NTI Revelation chapter 1 says, all things within the world are the same. And in Freedom from the Maze, you know, Michael Langford describes how everything is illusion, meaning that it's not reality. And he lists things. He lists even, you know, the clouds, for example. I'm scanning Freedom from the Maze now to see if I can find that list. But if not, oh, here we go. All of the bodies, animals, plants, mountains, land, clouds, sky, objects, actions, concepts, feelings, and desires, right? These are all mere illusions. And NTI has the same teaching, that everything is an illusion. NTI continues, all things within the world are the same. There is nothing special in any of it. And then he says, every experience can be used to lead to life, and every experience can also lead to death. This is the double-edged sword of the spiritual path. And I think many of us think that the spiritual path somehow is different. It's special. You know, the world is an illusion. We understand this teaching, at least intellectually. But the spiritual path is special, because the spiritual path is the path that will take me out of illusion. NTI says, all things within the world are the same. Every experience can be used to lead to life, and every experience can also lead to death. This is the double-edged sword of the spiritual path. It may lead you to the life you seek, or, and this is the point that Michael Langford is making in Freedom from the Maze, or it may lead you to stay busy as you work very hard going nowhere. Only you can know what this path is for you. So I think one question that every one of us needs to ask every day is, what is the spiritual path for me? Have I become very interested in the concepts of the spiritual path, very interested in reading the books, very interested even in hanging out in the sanctuary, when actually somehow this has become a distraction from what the spiritual path is meant to be? Am I really spending my time practicing what the best teachings point to? Or has the spiritual path just become another distraction, another form of entertainment? Do I enjoy, for example, identifying with the spiritual path, regardless of what I'm identifying with? Do I love identifying with Awakening Together? Do I love identifying with A Course in Miracles? Do I love identifying with NTI? Do I love identifying myself as an Awakening Together minister or someone who's going to be an Awakening Together minister? Do I love identifying myself as someone who follows Adyashanti or Michael Langford or anyone else? Like, has this somehow just become, even though I started very sincerely, has this somehow, at some point, drifted into another game for me? I think that as we read Freedom from the Maze, this gives us an opportunity to ask these questions in a very self-honest way if we want to. What's interesting is, Michael Langford gives us two first important steps for freeing ourselves from the maze. And if you listen to these steps, it may remind you of Ken Wapnick, because in his own way, he taught these exact same steps. He didn't word them the same, but he taught these exact same steps over and over again. Step number one, see that part of you does not want to be free from the maze. And step number two, every day see how the fact that part of you does not want to be free from the maze affects your actions, thoughts, feelings, desires, etc. In A Course in Miracles, this is called denial. And nearly everyone in here, if not everyone in here, has at some point studied or currently studies A Course in Miracles. The funny thing is, again, if we allow the ego to take control of the spiritual path, to turn it into another game, even a wonderful book like A Course in Miracles, which is meant to help free us from the maze, actually somehow just becomes something else that keeps us running around in the maze, loving the maze itself, enjoying the game of the maze as a Course in Miracles student. For example, I can pick out the concepts in A Course in Miracles. And by the way, A Course in Miracles is full of concepts because every word ultimately is a concept, right? So I can pick out the concepts of A Course in Miracles, the concepts that I favor, the concepts that I don't favor, the interpretation that I have of those concepts, and I can spend a lot of time in the maze debating with others about these concepts. Guess what part of me is involved in the debate? It is the part of me that does not want to be free from the maze. I'm having too much fun in the maze debating the concepts of A Course in Miracles with other Course students. I love too much being right, maybe. I love too much proving to others that I am more right than they are, that I understand better than they do. But Michael Langford and Ken Wapnick recommend that instead of that, that we each honestly look at ourselves and see the part of ourself that does not want to be free. And then every day notice, because that part of ourself is kind of acting, it's doing things, right? Whether it's debating concepts, spiritual concepts, whether it's hanging out in the sanctuary too much, kind of listening and kind of playing on Facebook and kind of surfing the web, right? Whether it's watching too much TV, whatever it's doing. Whatever it's doing. That part of us is keeping us in the maze. That part of us needs to be seen with our clear awareness. In fact, also in NTI Revelation, when interpreting the words in Revelation. NTI asks us to go deep within and to look at the desires that are worshiping at our inner altar. And NTI asks us to be very honest about what we see there. It says, yes, we will see the true desire, the desire to awaken. It is most definitely worshiping at that inner altar. But notice also that resistance is still there. Still worshiping at that inner altar. So we have now Michael Langford, Ken Wapnick, and NTI all asking us to look at the resistance. Don't deny the resistance because it's there. And if we don't look at it, it is leading us in ways that we are not noticing. It is keeping us in that maze. If we really want to be free from the maze, we need to recognize the part of us that doesn't want to be free because it is still there worshiping at the inner altar of our heart. It is still there worshiping at the inner altar of our heart. And we need to see how it's affecting us, because when we see, this is the miracle. This is the miracle. When we see, we are looking with pure awareness. We're not looking with the mind. We're looking with pure awareness. So if we just begin to watch the ways in which that part of us is using time to keep us in the maze, just the act of watching with self-honesty, non-judgmental self-honesty, it's very important for the non-judgmental part. If there's judgment of me and what I'm doing, right? If there's judgment of me and what I'm doing, I'm actually watching with ego. That's not helpful. It needs to be that non-judgmental, pure seeing. Ah, look. Look at what I'm doing right now. Notice how this is actually keeping me in the maze. It's just looking. Ah, I see what's happening here. And if we look with that pure awareness is the light that shines away the darkness, which means if we just keep looking, what's going to happen is a transition is going to begin to occur naturally. We're going to find ourselves naturally losing interest in, you know what? I just don't feel like debating. I mean, I see this thing in Facebook. I know I could join in, but you know what? I'm just going to turn that off. I don't have interest in that now. I'd much rather come over here and meditate or contemplate or do whatever the inner true desire is guiding us to do, which is actually helpful to finding our way out of the maze. So again, those first two steps, see that part of you that does not want to be free from the maze. Look for it. Notice it non-judgmentally. And don't just do it once. Every day, see how the fact that part of you does not want to be free from the maze affects your actions, thoughts, feelings, desires, etc. Look at it. Look at it. Notice it. Don't judge it. Thich Nhat Hanh would call this mindfulness. That's his word for this, but he has the exact same teaching. Another thing that Michael Langford recommends, and all of us who know Michael Langford are very aware that he recommends this, is that we do whatever we can to increase our desire for awakening. Right? And again, this is what NTI is asking us to do when it says to go within and look at the worshipers at the altar of the heart. NTI asks us to also take a measuring stick and measure those two worshipers, the resistance and the willingness. NTI says, the willingness is actually stronger. The willingness is higher. And that has to be true or we wouldn't even be here. It's the willingness that brings us here. So every single one of us can trust that in spite of the amount of resistance that still exists, the willingness is higher. It's stronger. That's what has us here. That could, however, be a 49%, 51% split, which means if there's 49% resistance, there's still an awful lot of attraction to staying in the maze. So what we want to do is whatever we can do to begin to shift that balance in a very natural way so that there's less and less on the side of the resistance and more on the side of true desire, the desire for awakening, the desire to know thyself. And this is where books or listening to teachers or coming into the sanctuary can be helpful. If, when I am reading something or listening to someone, and it is inspiring my true desire, it is increasing my desire to get out of the maze, then it is helpful. If, however, I am reading something, listening to someone, or even coming into the sanctuary, and somehow it isn't truly inspiring that. It is just, it's entertaining me. It's fun. It's, again, it's still a distraction. And you can find this in yourself. No one else can tell you what is a distraction for you and what is increasing your desire to awaken. No one can tell you, and no one can honestly judge you. If they judge you, they're only using their imagination, right? But you can look and you can say whether you are, I'm going to call it wasting time right now. And by wasting time, I mean it's not helpful towards your goal of being freed from the maze. Or whether what you are doing right now is somehow a part of the key. Only you can know that for yourself. But the only way you're going to know that for yourself is if you take this recommendation of looking, of watching every day. Last week I had an experience. Oh, Alex says, do we really believe that any of our brothers could be wasting their time here at Awakening Together? Absolutely. I think every one of us can. Every one of us can waste our time. That's what this teaching is all about. It's all about how the spiritual path can become just another intellectual diversion. That's what this is about. And we can either get honest with ourselves about that or not get honest. That's our choice. That's our choice. But if our purpose is awakening, we want to get honest about it. Again, there are a number of tools that have been given to us to help us awaken. And Awakening Together is one of those tools. But for every tool that's ever been created to help us awaken, the ego finds a way to use the exact same tool to keep us asleep. Yeah, like Jay is quoting NTI, there's nothing special in any of it. Anything can lead to life, and anything can lead to death. And that is just as true of Awakening Together as anything else. And again, Alex is saying we can either judge ourselves or our brothers. This is not about judgment. Let's not misperceive what's being said. No one is asking anyone to judge. No one is asking anyone to look outside of themselves at all. This teaching is about looking at me, which each and every one of us can do. Looking at me. How am I using the spiritual path? How am I using time? Those two questions. How am I using the spiritual path? How am I using time? That's what this is about. Again, if you want to be free from the maze, then you need to take these two important first steps. Number one, see that part of you does not want to be free. This is true of each and every one of us, or guess what? We would be awakened. This is asking us to stop pretending that 100% of our heart, 100% of our soul is ready for awakening. Even NTI says that is not true. It says, go within and look. You are going to find two worshipers there, not one. Resistance is still worshiping there. See that part of you that does not want to be free from the maze. Ken Wapnick told us this over and over and over again during his years of teaching. And then Michael Langford says, every day, see how the fact, the part of you does not want to be free from the maze, all right? The fact that part of you does not want to be free from the maze, every day, notice how it's affecting your actions, your thoughts, your feelings, your desires. Again, no one is saying judge it. And no one is saying look outside at anyone else. But if you want to be free, look within and find out how you are your own obstacle. Now, what I was about to say was last week I had an experience. This experience came of its own. I didn't make it happen. And I don't quite know what the experience was. I can only describe it as it was experienced. Okay, that's the best that I can do. Here's how it felt. It felt like something else, and I would call that something else grace, came in and took over the body. It took over the body. It began to move the body completely without mind. And it did move the body to do some interesting things. It moved the body out into the front yard. It moved the body to get down in the driveway and really examine an ant who, interestingly, the ant seemed very willing to be examined. It didn't even try to run away. In fact, the eyes of the body went all the way down, were probably an inch at most away from the ant, if not closer. And the ant seemed very willing to be examined. And when the body moved back up, that's when the ant moved away. It spent time looking at rocks. It spent time looking at plants. In fact, if anything, it was acting like a two-year-old child would, just exploring the front yard. But what was interesting was this wasn't an experience without mind, which I'm going to call resistance right now, without the other worshiper. This wasn't an experience completely without it. And in fact, this mysterious force that took over the body was communicating silently with the mind while this was happening. And it was asking the mind to stay out of the way and allow this. It was asking the mind not to take control, which tells me that if the mind had wanted to jump in there and take control, this grace would have backed off and actually let the mind have control of the body again. So it was asking permission. It was asking the mind to stay back. And what I observed, which was extremely interesting to me, was how both true desire and resistance are there in the mind. Some people would think that the mind is all resistance, but that is not what I saw. I saw the mind, it had two primary resistance thoughts. One was, well, actually, in the end, they're the same thought, but here's how it looked at the level of thought. One was, if I let this thing, this grace, this mysterious force take over this body, it's going to guide the body to do strange things, like bow down in the driveway and examine an ant. And what are other people, the neighbors, the people driving by, the boyfriend, if he should come and see this, what are they going to think of this insane action? I mean, there was a definite thought that the mind, when it's in control, is much more reasonable much more practical. This was important to see. This thought in the mind is a part of my obstacle. It's a part of my desire not to be free. Because somehow there's still this belief that the mind is wiser. It's better. It knows how to get by in the world in a practical, reasonable, sensible way. And if you let go of the mind, you lose that. You become a fool. The fool on the hill in the Beatles song, right? And then there was this feeling of embarrassment or shame associated with what would others think of that if I allowed myself to become the fool moved only by this mysterious force. The other idea that I saw floating up. The other idea was I got to get to work. I can't spend all day out here in the front yard looking at rocks and ants. I have a job in there to do. You know, the president minister of Awakening Together is a job. It has tasks that need to be completed. I need to get inside and do these things. I don't have time for this. I need to get to work. There is this thought that if I let this mysterious force have full control without the mind, I'll lose my job. I wouldn't be surprised if you all have similar thoughts buried somewhere in your mind. And what was also interesting is even though I saw this, what I also saw, remember I said the mind was not just resistance? It wasn't. It wasn't. And this is what's wonderful. What I also saw was even as these thoughts were coming up, I was watching the mind willingly back away from its own thoughts. It wasn't feeding these thoughts. The thoughts were seen, but the mind was not feeding them. The attention that comes from the mind was not feeding them. The attention was willingly backing away from its own thoughts and submitting and allowing this grace, this mysterious force to move the body. That really excites me because you know what that says? That says that I had the opportunity to go within the inner chamber of my heart, just like NTI says. I measured. There were two worshipers there. But I could see that that willingness was very strong because the mind was trying so, I want to say so hard, but yet there was a gentle restingness to this so hard. It's like so hard to rest. So hard to back away. It's an effort, but it's not the kind of effort that's a forward-moving effort. It's the effort of becoming less and less and less. The mind was becoming less and less and less and allowing this to happen. Now, this experience did end. It was a temporary experience. But what I saw was valuable. It helped me with the step one and step two to see the part of me that does not want to be free from the maze, the part of me that's concerned about what others would think if I'm not practical, and the part that was concerned about not getting the job done, not doing my job, not working again in the way others expect me to. It allowed me to somewhat at least complete part one. I'm sure there's other things there, but it allowed me to see very clearly the part of me that does not want to be free from the maze and how it's operating this personality to make sure that it does not become free from the maze. Now my job is every day to see how the fact that that part of me is there in the inner chamber of the heart worshiping, to see how that part of me every day does not want me to be free from the maze. How does that part of me affect my actions every day, my thoughts every day, my feelings every day, my desires every day? Watch, 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 watch. Watch. It has also led me to a decision, which isn't really a decision. It's something that I've actually felt coming on for some time. I just didn't know exactly when or how. So it's kind of a calling that I think now has come to fruition. The time is now. Some of you may remember that in 2012, I took a year of what I called increased silence. And I spent that year contemplating the seven steps to awakening. In fact, if you go look at my journal from the Seven Steps to Awakening, you'll find a few entries from 2013 through 2015. A few entries from those 2.5 years. But the vast majority of the entries are from 2012. Because in 2012, I spent hours upon hours every day contemplating the seven steps. And I feel it is time to do that again. There have been a lot of changes in my life. Jasmine has left and gone to college. Danielle is currently in the process of moving out. My boyfriend is here on the weekends, but during the week I will have this large home all to myself. And I know, there's not a doubt in me about what this is being given for. This is being given so I can go back into a period of time of increased silence. At the end of 2012, the guidance came to start awakening together. I was asked to build a church, and I've done that. We haven't got the IRS's blessing on it yet, but whether we even get that blessing or not, this church is here. Anybody who has watched how ACIM Gather has transformed into Awakening Together knows there's been a change here. And it was my job to do that, and it is done. And there's still going to be other tasks that occur, but the building is done. I did what I was asked to do, and now, I'm being asked to go back into the silence. During the time that Awakening Together has been being built, I've been working approximately 58 hours a week. That is now coming to an end. It may be reduced to 35 or 40. It's not like I'm going to stop working. But there's going to be significantly less. In fact, I am committed to spending my mornings in silence. I will get up in the morning and I will read the daily quote that comes out on the update, and I will post the daily quote in Facebook as I do. If there is something that is truly time sensitive that needs to be dealt with immediately, I will take care of that. Something that can't wait until 11 or noon or 1. On the days that I teach an MPP class, right now on Mondays and Wednesday mornings, I teach MPP. I will do that. On the days that I am the minister, I will do that. But with these few exceptions, I'm going back to spending my mornings in silence with the seven steps to awakening and meditation. Because I did not create Awakening Together so that it could become a distraction for me, nor do I wish for it to become a distraction for anyone else. It is here merely to inspire us to do the practice. And if I don't take the lead in that, I don't know who will. Isn't it the president minister's job to lead? We've gathered together under the umbrella of Awakening Together. We are joined together in common purpose. Now let's get down to business. All right, that's all I have to say for now. We're running very late, so our service may go a little later as we still allow time for contemplation, as we still allow time for discussion. But I know that the next period of time is kind of an open social time. I know it is okay for us to run over, so we're going to do that. I'm going to play our song for contemplation. By the way, this is also the opportunity to donate to Awakening Together if you choose to. It does cost money. In fact, if you were here for our member meeting, you saw just how much money it does cost to have Awakening Together. So if you feel to donate, please donate. I am going to play a song so that we can contemplate this teaching. The name of this song is I Shall Not Want, and it's by Audrey Assad. if you listened carefully to that song, you may have heard some of the ways that our resistance shows up, keeping us in the maze. For example, the fear of loneliness, right? I don't want to be lonely, therefore I have to surround myself with people, make sure people like me. It was full of suggestions of possibilities. If I can find that on YouTube, I'll link to that when I post this as well, so people can listen to the song again. Now is the part of our service where you all get to share. And I am very excited to hear what you have to say after this reading today and after this teaching. So if you have something to share, please put up your hand and I will turn the mic over to you. If no one has anything to share, we may end closer on time than I thought. We have one comment. I only want to thank you for this room. That is really what I want to share. All right, Nancy, the mic is yours.
Oh, thank you. Thanks, Regina, and thanks again for very timely teaching, and I think this looking is absolutely necessary. And the one thing I wanted to reinforce, because you said it very well, is the looking with non-judgment, without the ego standing over my shoulder, which is like getting tripped right from the starting gate. And then going back and back again, and it's really unnecessary. But my reading from NTI last week was, it said this, and I think that it is another way of accepting this teaching. And Holy Spirit said, the good teaching that you have been entrusted with is the teaching of your innocence. This is the teaching you must accept if you are to experience the fullness of your experience and let go of your curiosity. So just that Spirit has entrusted us, trusting me to accept this. And without that acceptance, it is not only difficult, but impossible to realize. All right. Thanks so much. Letting go.
Thank you, Nancy. Yeah, it is that I am bad thought that gets in the way of us being able to look at ourselves with that self-honesty. So for some people, what needs to happen is looking at the I am bad thought and noticing how often we choose that thought throughout the day. And then choosing to, I used to just take it back. I would see that I judged myself, and I would say, I take that back. I just take it back, kind of like undo in Microsoft Word. By the way, anyone who's really interested in learning how to let go of the I am bad thought, go to reginadonacres.com, go to the classics menu, click on the second set of classics, and you'll find an audio there for letting go of the I am bad belief, and that may be helpful to you. Gloria, the mic is yours.
Thank you, and good morning, everybody. Wow, today's reading and the teaching was just amazing. I just wanted to get on and say it is so evident to me today that the two-edged, how we can use things that are meant for our good and use them and become attached to them.
Yes.
And that's really what I got from today's reading and the teaching. That we can use these things for our benefit, or we can really be attached to them. So, like, yes, I do love coming to sanctuary being in the ministerial program, connecting with people who see and believe and want the same things that I want. But I can certainly see how that can become a hindrance, an attachment, something that I'm identified with. And I just wanted to share as well the vision that Regina had as she was talking about that. I thought of Bentinho and how he's stepping away from his activities as well and becoming, being more with whatever's happening for them. And it's such an inspiration for me to remember that I can love this. And I do have that 49, 48, 51 thing going on. I can see the resistance. I know that it's here. But I'm so thankful, so truly grateful today for the willingness that's here. The willingness that, as Regina pointed out, that is extremely, it's high enough to look at that resistance, be with that resistance, and then do my best to release my attachments to that resistance. Thank you, Regina, for sharing today, and I'm grateful to be here, and I'll let go of the mic.
Yeah, thank you very much, Gloria. And that is an important point. You know, again, we're not saying that A Course in Miracles, NTI, Awakening Together, the MPP program are distractions. In fact, every one of those things were intended to help us out of the maze. We're, you know, it's kind of what the Course says. What teacher, you know, what interpreter are you using these tools with? Everything that the Holy Spirit has given us to help us awaken, the ego can misuse to keep us asleep. That's what NTI is pointing out when it says the spiritual path is a double-edged sword. So it's up for each of us to really pay attention in a very subtle, subtle way. Is this thing helping me right now? Is it increasing my desire to awaken? Is it giving me understanding that I need? There are some understandings that are actually needed. You know, like the understanding of what is the difference between ego and those clear thoughts that help us awaken, Holy Spirit. You know, how do I let go of this I am bad belief that is such a huge obstacle? So there's some intellectual learning that's actually important. But there also comes a time when we start noticing it is definitely time. The learning is done. I've learned what there is to learn. You know that. And it's time now for a lot less reading, a lot less listening, and more practice. And each one of us, I'm not telling anybody where to be. I'm not telling anybody where to be. Some people may be at the point where they need to be reading a particular book or listening to a particular teacher 8 hours a day right now because that's the best place for you. Some of us may be at the point where it is time to close those books and stop listening to those teachers and go within, within, because that is the best thing for me, right? I'm not telling anyone where to be. I'm not telling anyone what to do. I am recommending the inner self-assessment. All right, so what I'm going to do now is just play our closing song. I just realized that I skipped the prayer at the beginning, which is something I've never done. So you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to say a prayer now. And then I'm going to go directly into the closing song without speaking in between. So why don't we start with prayer? Usually I start my prayers with a bit of silence until the prayer begins to come. By the way, first I want to acknowledge the comment on the board, experienced that, this inner looking, this past winter, incredible experience of 30 days of silence and going inside. Thank you. All right, let's go into silence. I want to thank you, Grace, which shows up in so many forms, so many ways, to keep giving us one consistent message, to keep pointing us in one direction and help us so that we do not stray. Jesus is often called the shepherd. And he referred to the shepherd. He said, "I am the good shepherd. I am the good shepherd." The shepherd that leads us lovingly and consistently in one direction on that straight and narrow path, and pops up in some way, through a fictional story about a maze, through a Ken Wapnick teaching, through Revelation chapter 1 in NTI, shows up in some way whenever we need it as we begin to stray, to herd us back onto the path of the straight and narrow. As long as we remain sheep, with the desire to go forward but the ability to be distracted, we are grateful for this good shepherd that shows up in so many, many ways. Let us recognize the love of the good shepherd. Let us heed its advice very seriously. Let us recognize the importance of non-judgmental awareness. Let us recognize the difference between the efforting of the ego and the more relaxed efforting of the true desire. And let us be in harmony with our true desire. Make decisions with our true desire. And put our efforts there. And also let us find the inspiration we need whenever we need it. Let it always show up. This voice of the Good Shepherd, whether it be internally through intuition or an inner voice, or whether it appear to be externally through reading the right thing, hearing the right thing, or seeing the right thing. We invite the Good Shepherd to guide us. We gratefully and willingly invite the Good Shepherd to guide us because we recognize we still need shepherding. Amen.
Open to learn, open open to laughter, open to being blessed. Open to joy, open to service, open to saying yes. Open to risk, open to passion, to peace and silence too. Open to love, open to beauty, open beloved to you.
Thank you very much for coming to our Sunday gathering today. And those of you who stayed beyond our usual ending point, I want to thank you for staying a little longer. The social hour is next. And so if it feels right for you to stay for the social hour, please stay for the social hour led by Lynn. And I will see you guys again, maybe in contemplation this evening, maybe the Seven Steps to Awakening teaching, maybe prayer circle on Thursday, maybe for the weekly gathering next Sunday. But I will see you again. Maybe MPP class, some of you. All right. Bye-bye.